Hello, and welcome to NDTnow.com's podcast, GAIN, exploring topics in NDT which affect your business. Today's podcast is brought to you by the We NDT Marketing Network. We accelerate sales in NDT. Visit us at we-ndt.com. I am so excited about today's podcast because we are going to talk about something vitally important to this country and to our industry. We have with us today Christopher Brenchley, the co-founder and CEO of SureHand, the skills-first hiring platform that instantly matches industrial employers with best-fit tradespeople. But today, we're not talking about SureHand. Rather, we are discussing Rock the Trades, their new workforce development initiative celebrating the American industrial worker. Thank you so much for joining us today, Chris.
Hey, Mary Beth. It's great to be here, as always.
So I know we've had you on in the past to talk about SureHand and how it's transforming the hiring narrative in NDT. But what exactly is Rock the Trades, and how is it different than what's already out there?
Well, that's an excellent question, Mary Beth. So as you said at the top there, is, you know, Rock the Trades is a new workforce development initiative that we've seed funded and we're launching, and it's really focused on two things: celebrating the American tradesperson, including NDT techs and industrial inspectors, and at the same time, raising awareness of the skilled trades as a fulfilling, financially rewarding career path. And, you know, I'll just say the way we do that before getting into how we're different is there are three main things we're doing. One, we're honoring those who work in the trades today. We've got a variety of initiatives in place to do that, things on social media, some of the industry advocates, both influencers and organizations we're bringing on to help sort of spread the word around kind of what we're doing, and but also at the same time celebrate these unsung heroes. The second is informing those who wish to, you know, consider the career path in the skilled trades. Because, you know, one of the things we've learned over the years is that it's not a well-lit path. And then the third element to it is what I would say is empowerment. And we are launching our Rock the Trades Scholarship Fund next month. And nice. We're funding the initial rewards, and we're bringing on, you know, additional partners, you know, both corporations or employers who need those skilled tradespeople for their, you know, open positions or projects, really to get the work done, to join us in funding that scholarship fund, as well as, you know, tradesmen and women, you know, in the case of NDT, NDT techs or inspectors who've had a successful career and want to give a little bit back to those who are just entering the journey.
Wow, that's really fantastic. I'm very excited for this initiative because it's so sorely needed in our country. And you're right, it's not a well-lit path to enter the trades, to get the training. And it's certainly not celebrated like, you know, four-year colleges are. Even though oftentimes the four-year colleges don't lead to careers that are as employable as those of the trades.
Yeah, and you know, again, and I think that's really, you know, the things I didn't talk about were, you know, well, what are we poking at? What are we going after with Rock the Trades, right? Beyond kind of what we're doing, it's sort of like the why. And I think this touches on, you know, how Rock the Trades might be different than some of the other initiatives out there. So the first thing we're poking at with Rock the Trades is this sort of relentless prevailing narrative, really over the last 30 years, that has undervalued vocational training and education, apprenticeships, and the like, with this, you know, college first or college by default narrative. Mm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with college, right? College was perfect for me, right? Like it satisfied my interests, my ambitions, the things that I wanted to do and cared about. You know, a four-year college degree was right for me. But, you know, the reality of it is it's not the best fit starting point for everyone. Everybody's different. Everyone has a different interest, different skill sets. And, you know, again, I think one of the things we're trying to do is just really broaden the menu so that as you have, you know, middle schoolers, high schoolers and their parents thinking about career paths, when you have folks that are separating from military service, when you have mid-career professionals thinking about a different work life or different career path, we just want that. We believe the skilled trades need to be, you know, as high up on that menu as a four-year college degree. So we're poking at that. And I think how we're different touches on the second thing we're poking at is, you know, we've been at this for 3 years, the SureHand business and, you know, our mission, which is really twofold, to reduce industrial labor shortages and eliminate underemployment in the skilled trades, which by extension, you could argue we're focused on eliminating underemployment in general, because there's all these great jobs out there. A lot of people looking for work who have the aptitude and interest, perhaps, if only they knew about them, but they kept missing each other, right? Mm-hmm. And so it occurred to me that, you know, over the last 3 years, as all this was bubbling up, is, well, wait a second, there's so many initiatives that are already out there attacking this problem. Government initiatives, you know, brand or corporate-led initiatives, industry organizations, labor unions, on and on and on. Why isn't this getting better? In fact, it's getting worse. Like, you know, we can talk about stats all day long if you pick a trade, right? In terms of, you know, the fact there's just simply not enough tradespeople to fill the jobs that are already out there. And so the aha moment for us was very simple, which was all of those great initiatives, and they need to keep doing what they're doing, the more the merrier, are inherently siloed from the start. They focus on a specific industry, a specific trade in a specific region or on a community or a cohort within a community. Again, all those are great initiatives, but by default, they're siloed. And so what happens is you have all these stakeholders and these initiatives trying to raise the issue, trying to, you know, bring this up into the national consciousness, but they're using inconsistent messaging. And that creates a dissonance, right? Noise versus signal. So really what started as a workforce development initiative for us, and I would say it was probably more humble in nature in the beginning, it's become pretty clear in the last couple months as we've been spinning this up that Rock the Trades really has an opportunity to unite or unify and amplify all of the initiatives and all of those programs and organizations and individuals via a rallying cry called Rock the Trades. It becomes this message, or can become this message, that can really elevate this issue. And, you know, like many other memes that have been out there, everything from, you know, just say no during the Nancy Reagan era back in the 80s, if I date myself, before memes were even a thing maybe, to, you know, the memes associated with a lot of the other social change and social impact movements, from racial injustice to sexual harassment and abuse. Again, I'm not drawing an equivalency with all these issues, but if you think about, you know, how those things rose to the national consciousness, it was through that singular message.
You're absolutely right. And I think this is sorely needed in the trades arena, because you're right. Everything is siloed right now. Everybody's sort of trying to elevate their little, you know, piece of the industry. And, you know, the way that we become more visible to the general public and even to legislators is that we come together and really show that there is there's a real future for people in this, and people can really get together and create careers from this. And they can pass along the knowledge. I think that's part of what you were speaking about, is that, you know, we have an aging workforce, particularly in the trades, and it is only getting worse. So I think this is going to be vitally important to all the trades, and to have it come together like this is really, it's innovative and it's really exciting for all of us. So Can you tell us a little bit? I've seen, of course, I've been following on LinkedIn and I've gone to the website, and there's lots of exciting things that you guys have going on, even just in the last couple months as you've been spinning this up. One of the things that intrigued me is what Barbie the Welder is doing as part of this initiative. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So Barbie the Welder, who's a force of nature, and if your listeners don't follow her on social media, and she's on all of them really, but I think Instagram is the one where we are doing our good work together, as well as LinkedIn, but she's on TikTok and others. But Barbie is a 14-year veteran of the welding industry. Probably the last eight she spent as a internationally acclaimed metal art sculptor. And she's got a significant following on social media. She was a mechanic before she was a welder. And she's deeply committed to giving back to the skilled trade, specifically in her case, welding. And then if you read her origin story and how she's come up, I mean, the trades really have given her the life that she has today. And so I think she's motivated to give back to those who want to follow her footsteps. So she's a great, I think, role model and inspiration for young girls, young boys who are thinking about the trade. So anyway, she was sort of a perfect fit to become our first, let's say, industry influencer. And, you know, we've added some since. We'll continue to grow that as we expand our coverage across the trades. But the idea with Barbie the Welder and how we kicked this off was we actually commissioned Barbie to create a one-of-a-kind metal art sculpture, which she's since titled The Tradesman. We're talking about doing The Tradeswoman next year before we ask you that question.
Nice.
We get that a lot. And, you know, that falls into the honor category and the celebrate category. So she's working on a masterpiece sculpture, and you can follow all of her progress on Instagram. She's Instagram. Her handle's at Barbie the Welder. And again, the idea is not just to showcase and honor the people that are working in the trades today, but to really draw sort of a parallel between the skilled trades and really what are the industrial arts, right? So when you think about skilled tradespeople, the craftsmanship, the attention to detail, the commitment that these folks put into their work, and I don't care if they're a welder, machinist, boiler maker, pipe fitter, HVAC, refrigerant tech, electrician, plumber, you get the idea. If you look at the work that these folks do, it is an art. These are art. Somehow along the way, we've lost our way relative to you know, that equivalency. It's not something we're creating. It should be there already. So a lot of what we're trying to do with Rock the Trades is put these tradespeople and the work they do up on a figurative stage next to the other, you know, creators and makers in other fields, like music, like visual arts, like dance, and so on. And so again, there's really a clear parallel, at least in our mind, between the arts and generally industrial arts. And we feel like if we can do that, that can start to shift the perception that's out there. So again, I would encourage everyone to follow Barbie and her progress. The sculpture's epic. It's life size. We're going to be doing a lot with the tradesmen after, you know, she's done with that project. Again, just to go on what I would characterize as an awareness tour for the skilled trades. You know, we're still working through the details on that, but it's pretty exciting.
I am so excited to see this sculpture when it's done. I am super psyched about it. And I really have enjoyed watching how people are sending in their tools, and people are sending in, you know, their father's tools, their grandfather's tools. It's been really an exciting process to watch the journey.
Yeah, the crowdsource piece, just to interject there, Mary Beth, is really cool because, you know, part of the sculptures, as you alluded to, is, you know, before she got started, we went out, we sort of reached out to our growing audience and said we wanted to incorporate actual tools used by real tradesmen and women into the sculpture. And what was really fascinating is not only did we get tools sent in from around the country, but we also got people sending us notes and letters telling us the stories behind the tools. You know, these were the tools. Not all the people that sent tools in were in the trades. They were sending in cherished, you know, heirloom tools of their father or grandfather. And so we learn the stories about those trades people. And we're incorporating that into the sculpture as well. Barbie's actually collaborating with another influencer we're working with, David Cook out of LA, to incorporate a way to honor, you know, who used those tools as part of this initiative. And I think it's so important because for us to really attack the labor shortages in the skilled trades, we need to expand the conversation beyond the blue collar households, you know, those multi-generational families that already understand the value and fulfillment that comes from a career in the skilled trades. And again, take that conversation, expand it or amplify it into the white collar world, right? And cross-pollinate that message so that, you know, and I've said it to folks is that, you know, we'll know we're making a difference with Rock the Trades when, you know, we're in our white collar social media bubble, echo chamber, whatever you want to call it. And we see parents wildly celebrating their kids getting into a welding school or pursuing a trade in the same way that you see them do it if they got into Delaware or Johns Hopkins or Stanford or wherever. And, you know, to me, it's about how do we, again, elevate awareness of the skilled trades and, again, start to change the perception of what those career paths look like, both in terms of financial reward as well as just work-life balance, mental health. You know, the white-collar professions are not without their downsides, right? So to me, I think it's a big part of the narrative and why, as we started to see these tools come in, it was great to see, you know, we were getting folks really from all collars, blue to white collar and everything in between participating.
And I love that because it really speaks to the sense of pride that people have, not only to be in the trades themselves, but to have their fathers or grandfathers have those tools sent in. These are people who built this country, particularly during times where there was not much going on in the country after the Great Depression. These are people who built back the country. And I think there's just that sense of pride of what they did. And anything we can do to amplify that kind of pride in the trades moving forward as we frankly start rebuilding again. I think that's going to be really, it's going to resonate quite well with the people of this country and going forward in the future.
And decades from now, Mary Beth, if we were to do this all over again, people would be sending in tools that their grandmothers used in the trades.
Yes. Right?
There's such an opportunity relative to the shortage out there to look at underrepresented populations, women, minorities. If you look at any given trade, single digit participation in those trades, not just in the workforce, but in school concentration in terms of studies. And so, you know, that's another part of, you know, working with Barbie and other influencers. We're really trying to present a diverse, diverse perspective on those that are working in the trades and really break down the stereotypes, I think, that are out there that have frankly hurt, you know, the trades, whether it's earning potential, job site safety, technology, all these other things. There's just a lot of misperceptions out there that can be, I think, beaten back with information and fact. And it's really, and those are easy things to do, is just get that information out there.
For sure. And I think that informational piece, along with, you know, exposure to even what the trades are and what they entail, is a huge piece of it, but also making it more accessible to diverser communities. And, you know, along those lines, can you tell us a little bit, I know you mentioned it, but can you tell us a little bit about the scholarship program that is part of this Rock the Trades initiative?
Yeah, so we haven't formally announced it, but I mean, I can certainly talk about where we're going. Is in June, we'll be formally announcing the scholarship program, and it's focused on short course vocational training and education programs. These are not these awards are not going toward folks that are going after 4-year degree or 2-year degree programs. These are more of the short course vocational training and education type programs. Opened up to, you know, high school grads, GED holders, really the broadest, you know, group of folks we can touch or empower. We're partnered with Scholarship America. They're a 501c3 not-for-profit who's administering the program on our behalf. And as I said, we're going to seed fund that program for this first cohort, and we're going to be opening up for applications in August. But folks will be able to sign up and get notified when we open up for applications. And then between June and August, I'll be working closely with industry stakeholders to increase the number of awards that we can make available with this first cohort that'll open up in August. We're going to award or Scholarship America will make their selections by December. And again, those funds would be used for the spring 2022, let's call it academic term.
Fantastic. And where can people get more information on Rock the Trades and maybe on the upcoming scholarship and maybe a hard hat sticker if they get on your site?
Yeah, nice. It's all about the stickers. It's always about the stickers. So no, it's okay. We can help with stickers. So couple things. Yeah. Best thing to do is, you know, the information about the campaign and everything we're doing, rockthetrades.com is probably the best place to get that information. It's a site that's evolving very quickly and we'll be doing new things as we move through the next few months. Instagram is our primary social channel that we're focused on. And then LinkedIn on the industry organization or the corporate side. We're also Rock the Trades on LinkedIn, and those are the two primary social channels to engage with us and our growing band of who we call rockers and roadies and, you know, basically everyone who's standing up with us on this mission. You mentioned stickers. Easiest thing to do is follow us on Instagram. In our Instagram bio, there's a link where you can go get your free Rock the Trades sticker. Helmet sticker, or if you want it for your welding hood, your laptop, your, you know, your thermos, whatever. It's totally free. Just fill out the form. We'll send them off to you. If you're not on Instagram, not to worry. You can just go to rockthetrades.com/stickers. And again, you just fill out that form and we'll drop them in the mail to you. But yeah, definitely appreciate anyone getting involved and to whatever degree they're willing to support or help us spread our message and kind of grow the movement, greatly appreciated.
That's really great. And is there anything else you want to share with us about what else is happening in the rest of 2021 and maybe into 2022?
Yeah, sure. I think just quickly, I think the one other than what we've talked about already, I mean, we've got lots of exciting things, some things I can't get into yet, but not to be mysterious, but you know, until things are a thing, we don't like talk about them. But I will say the one thing that I am very excited about that really ties into SureHand is one of the things we realized was as we were moving through this, that it made a lot of sense for us to, from a, you know, in order to help us achieve our mission with SureHand, which I talked about was about reducing labor shortages and ending underemployment in the trades. Is we are aligning our mobile native app, which is basically a job finder app for workers today on the Apple Store, on Google Play. We're actually aligning that with the Rock the Trades brand. And more importantly, as we move forward, that app will begin to serve not just those that are already working in the trades like it does today, like the SureHand app does today, but this rebranded Rock the Trades app will actually be expanded over the, you know, over the course of the rest of this year to start to get into features and content and other things that can support those who wish to learn more about the trades and who want to embark upon that journey. So it's not just going to be something that supports those working in the trades like it does today, but it's going to really open up the top of the funnel. Again, as part of or in parallel with this, social impact initiative that we're driving along with the scholarship program, you know, all these things kind of working in harmony, we believe will help really make a difference out there. And frankly, I think we've got an opportunity to do it pretty quickly.
Well, that's really fantastic. I'm really excited to see that portion of it where you're tying together, you know, people entering the field, people who want to share their knowledge with people entering the field. I think that's going to be a real key piece to continuing this effort, both now and in the future. Well, we wish you all the luck with this program. We thank you so much for really pushing this forward as part of Surehand and as part of really, a personal mission. There's not enough people out there talking about the skilled trades. And so anything we can do to get the word out there about the brightness, bright future of the trades and really elevate the message, we really appreciate it.
Listen, the pleasure is mine, Mary Beth. I appreciate your voice out there within the NDT industry. I know you're a big proponent of the industry, for diversity in the industry, and again, bringing new talent into it. So I appreciate your work and certainly appreciate the opportunity to share what we're up to with Rock the Trades with your audience today.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners today. We'll be sure to keep you posted on this program throughout the journey. We're really excited about it and keep coming back to ndtnow.com to get more updates. Don't forget to check out our other podcasts as well as the industry news on ndtnow.com. Cutting through the noise in NDT.